T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio.com Sports Station. Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Well, kind of right where I always am. The practices are so much more important than the preseason. The looks that we see like on a day like today are invaluable reps. It's, you know, an attacking defense, it's different fronts, it's different pressures. Oakland does some different things over the last couple preseasons. It stressed you at times protection wise, so it's not as maybe vanilla as you might see in the preseason, but the best reps I'm going to see all summer are in practice. If Matt wants us to play, we'll play and go out and compete. If not, I feel pretty good about where we're at.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, will we see him tonight against the Raiders in the third preseason game in Canada? That remains to be seen. Last week, Freems, you were off. I was in here with Kevin Holden. I was celebrating Aaron Rodgers Day. Then we get DeShone Kizer. Then we get Tim Boyle. I felt like Adrian Hauser. I wanted to vomit all over the place watching both of them last week. So hopefully we get Aaron Rodgers. 414-799-1250. Tweet at us, 105.7 FM The Fan. It is Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
If he has the slightest bit of back pain, they're not playing him tonight.
Oh, hell no.
Why do you think people want Rodgers to play so badly tonight?
Because I think that people have this idea that it's not going to work. For whatever reason, with Matt LaFleur, I think people want to see him actually go up to the line of the scrimmage and not audible out of a play.
So if Rodgers got hurt tonight in the game in Winnipeg, you think fans would not? They'd go the other way. Then they'd say, why are you playing him in a preseason game when he's already got a back injury?
Yeah, I'm torn. Like, I want to see him just because I love Aaron Rodgers, and it's been almost 364 days since I've seen Aaron Rodgers last. But at the same point, I'm with you, because all I keep thinking about is Week 17, a meaningless game. He wanted to go out there and play one final game with Randall Cobb against the Lions, and he gets concussed in the first half.
Okay, but I mean, the guys who are in the offensive unit for the Packers, most of those guys are returners, aren't they? I mean, most of those guys returned from last year. He's played with those guys before.
Yeah.
So who does he got to develop a chemistry with?
No, I'm with you. Like, if anything, last year I would have wanted to see him in the preseason a little bit more, even though it was year 500 under Mike McCarthy's system, just because he had three rookie wide receivers. Now, those guys better have the playbook picked up by now, the three second-year receivers, Devontae and him. The chemistry between Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers is completely fine. I don't need to see that. We know what him and Geronimo Allison could do when they're on the field at the same time, and Geronimo's healthy and Aaron's healthy. So, yeah, I really don't need to see a whole lot, to tell you the truth. Like, so we're not going to see Jimmy Graham because of the finger injury.
I don't understand why there's such a big deal for Rodgers to play tonight. I don't get that part. I've not heard anybody tell me yet why Rodgers has to play tonight and convince me that Rodgers needs to play tonight in Winnipeg or has to play at all in the preseason. I mean, hasn't Rodgers earned enough of our respect as a great quarterback that he does not have to play any preseason games?
Yes, for realists and for people with half of a brain like you and I, but for some reason, the narrative is that Aaron Rodgers is going to be this huge problem in the locker room. He's not going to get along with Matt LaFleur. He's going to go rogue. Week one against the Bears, he's going to call all audible streaks down the field like me playing Madden against my five-year-old, and he's not going to run the offense. He's going to check out of all the plays, this and that. I don't see it happening. He's going to have a big year.
Had a guy come up to me the other day. I was getting gas. Chuck Freeman, yes. Oh, looking forward to the Packers season? I said, yeah, I am, you know. He goes, boy, I'm just wondering, is Aaron going to listen to the new coach this year? And I hear that so often.
Yeah, and you hear that just, from 2 to 6 p.m.
In addition to the 2 to 6 show, I hear it. I don't hear it on this show, really. But I think we all know that, you know, listen to him. I mean, Aaron's going to be just fine with LaFleur. They needed a coaching change.
That's why we get along.
McCarthy and him, he didn't, they needed a break from each other. And Rodgers, he'll be just fine under LaFleur. I don't anticipate any problems. Audibles. Rodgers is going to have his ability to do certain things in the offense. I think that we don't even see. There are certain things that, we don't understand. We didn't all understand McCarthy's offense or LaFleur's offense or the intricacies of an NFL offense. It's so complicated. Only those guys really know. And a select few people understand it. I don't. The NFL is a complicated sport. So Rodgers will be just fine. I don't have any problems. If they want to sit him out tonight, I'm good. And, of course, they sit him out tonight. He's not playing in Week 4 either. So that means he'll go into Week 1. I just hear all this drama. If he hasn't played in a preseason game, he's in big trouble.
And it makes us sound like idiots, Freems. Like, I want you to look at the list of the quarterbacks who haven't played in the preseason. You want to know who hasn't played in the preseason? Tom Brady. You want to know who hasn't played yet this preseason? Phillip Rivers. You want to know who hasn't played yet this preseason? Drew Brees. Do you think that in San Diego right now, all their sports talk stations, we need to see Phillip Rivers?
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, I get it's first year in the system with Matt LaFleur. I get that things didn't end great with Mike McCarthy. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers here. Has he not earned our damn respect? It's been two rough years. 2 years ago, he got taken out by Anthony Barr. That year is a wash. That doesn't count. And he looked great before he got taken out.
Dave on our Facebook page just posted, I'm listening to Chuck Freeman now, and he's questioning why and what need is there for A-Rod to play. Well, I guess I agree. With all the recent playoff appearances and the successes this offense has had, why would we expect this highly paid quarterback to play? David, you are a smart man. And Dave Bukowski, Dave, you are a smart man. You are. That's the smartest thing I've seen on Facebook in a long time.
Yeah, tell him, Dave. You smart son of a biscuit.
Anytime you're going to agree with me, too, on top of it, that just adds to your credibility.
Yeah, you could join Dave. Chuck's foursome. I'm talking about on the golf course, not the one with the, So, Freems, anyway, for some reason, we rag on Aaron Rodgers at this station, mm-hmm. and we went through that article
you and
on
I don't,
five.
Though.
No, you and okay. I don't. Bart used to. I've gotten him back in the good group.
Yeah, he kept on talking about how Aaron wasn't bad last year.
He was padding his stats, is what Bart said.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, they all want to pad their stats, don't they? Tom Brady? They all want good stats.
Yeah,
they all look
does.
At their stats.
Absolutely.
They all look at their stats.
And so we were talking a little bit about the analytics, though, about that article at 538 saying, is Aaron Rodgers an elite quarterback? Well, Pro Football Focus, they know something, a thing or two about elite quarterbacks and about numbers. So they ranked their top 10 quarterbacks entering the 2019 season. I want to go through this real quick because Ryan Wood's about to join us in 3 minutes and we're going to preview tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, Baker Mayfield. Number 9, Phillip Rivers. Number 8, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 7, Matt Ryan. Number 6, Russell Wilson. Number 5, Andrew Luck. Number 4, Aaron Rodgers. Number 3, Patrick Mahomes. Number 2, Drew Brees. Number 1, Tom Brady. So Aaron Rodgers, according to Pro Football Focus, even with a down year where he threw 25 touchdown passes to just 2 interceptions, still rated a top 5 quarterback. In my opinion, that means he's elite. That's all the numbers. That's all the analytics you need. Pro Football Focus.
Anybody who says Aaron Rodgers is not an elite quarterback is an idiot.
Oh,
really? And that article that we guys were tossed around from, what was the name of the website? 8675-4321 or whatever.
Oh, no, that's Jenny's number.
Yeah.
8675-309.
Yeah. Who is this website? I mean, it's ridiculous.
538.
You never heard of it before.
You didn't like that one, did you?
And we made it a big deal last week. And when I was in here, people were making a big deal. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares, man? Unless it's, some NFL general manager or offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator coming out and saying that Rodgers not elite, then okay.
Yeah, if Devontae Adams comes out and he's like, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
I've been making these plays. You saw what I did with Brett Hundley. Mm-hmm. Rodgers sucks. I'd be like, okay, maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
But when Greg Jennings, things don't end the way that he wanted mm-hmm. them to end, and he has to go to Minnesota and go to Miami to finish his career where he does nothing with garbage quarterbacks, when he wants to be butthurt about it and come out, I don't think there's any credibility
Rodgers
there.
Rodgers is still a great quarterback, man.
And I don't care if we see
him
tonight.
Not even a question.
I do want to see him because of my love for him, but I'm also fine if he doesn't step foot on that field.
He's a little thinner this year. Hopefully,
Him and Danica are on that new workout plan.
Is Danica feeding him?
I don't know. We got Ryan Wood coming up. Is Aaron Rodgers going to play tonight? We'll find out next. It's Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Per usual, he's Chuck Freeman, filling in for Bart Winkler for two more days. I'm Ryan Horvath. Bart will rejoin us next Monday, a new man, a father figure to us all, and now a
well,
father.
Well, don't go that far.
I'm just trying to pat
father
him up
figure?
A little bit. He's going to come back. He's going to be like, what did you do to my show? So I'm just trying to butter him up a little bit in case he's listening and he's not happy about us throwing him under the bus, about him being down on Aaron Rodgers last year. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, will he play tonight? Will he not play tonight? Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is Ryan Wood. You can find his work at PackerNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette. Ryan, should we expect to see Aaron Rodgers tonight? I know we went through this last week. Tonight, is it finally the night?
You know, I wish I knew. if you listen to what was going on Lambeau Field this week, you had Brian Gutekunst say it's the plan for Aaron Rodgers to play. And then you had Aaron Rodgers not completely dismiss that plan directly, and that he never said, I'm not playing. But he went on a very long soliloquy of all the reasons that it's completely unnecessary for him to play and that he feels like he and the offense are ready for week one, even if he doesn't take a single preseason snap. So it'll be interesting. You know, I was convinced last week that he was going to play in Baltimore up until about 45 minutes before kickoff, and then, you know, the back tightness and all that. So it would probably be unwise to definitively say one way or the other at this point, and it'll be really interesting to see.
Do you think he wants to play? I mean, truly wants to play tonight, or is it just
no.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
No.
With that.
I don't think he truly wants to play. Now, if Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur put their foot down and said, you're playing, I do think that he would submit to that. I don't think that would be like Antonio Brown in his helmet. You know,
yeah.
I think that it'd be okay. But no, I don't think he someone who gave all the reasons why it's unnecessary to play that he did. And, you know, whether you agree or not, they were interesting reasons. I mean, he said that with all the unscripted move the ball periods, with Matt LaFleur radioing in the plays and Aaron Rodgers in practice having to orchestrate the offense on the field and do all the things pre-snap that you have to do in a game, that he feels like, coupled with the fact that whatever they see from the Raiders is bound to be vanilla, it's not going to be really intricate stuff, he feels like you can simulate everything that you need for week one in a practice setting. For him to feel that way, no, I do not think he wants to play.
Yeah. What happens when you hear from people, oh, you know what? Is Aaron going to listen to the new coach this year? Like I get all the time. What do you tell him?
I don't think we have any reason to believe yet, and maybe we never will, that he won't listen to Matt LaFleur. Like, we haven't been given any evidence that he won't. Like, the closest thing, I guess, is that he really doesn't like joint practices, and Matt LaFleur does, and there was a difference of opinion there, but I think that's pretty common, and that's natural. And just because Aaron Rodgers doesn't like joint practices doesn't mean that when Matt LaFleur schedules joint practices next year, Aaron Rodgers is not going to participate. That's listening to the head coach. So I just don't think, you know, if you have that opinion, fine. But it is speculative because we haven't seen that he's not listening to the head coach.
Ryan, I'm more excited to see Aaron Jones than Aaron Rodgers, to be quite honest with you, in preseason action. What can we expect from him tonight? Maybe a few carries? Is he expected to play the first quarter? Is he going to play at all? What should we expect tonight from number 33?
I would think he'll play. I'm not sure he needs to play either. If you go into all the similarities from a running back standpoint of what they did late last year with Mike McCarthy and then Joe Philbin. They did a lot of wide zone last year, late last year, not early last year, but late last year they did a lot of that. There's some similarities for sure. So, and running back's a position where it's kind of an island to yourself. I mean, you got to get the blitz pickups, your blocking assignments, you've got to hit your landmarks, you got to run the right routes, catch the ball, but you're not the quarterback or the offensive line or the secondary where you're kind of a part of a collective, cohesive whole. With that said, yeah, I would imagine that Aaron Jones gets his feet wet a little bit tonight, and that's probably all you'll see of him. I think the bigger question is what about Jamal Williams? He's not playing tonight. I would imagine Jamal Williams probably doesn't play at all in the preseason. You know, he returned to practice this week for the hamstring, but it's really become protocol for the Packers that you don't play in the week that you return, in the preseason week that you return from a soft tissue injury. And so he's not going to play tonight. And the fact that the preseason finale, because of the Thursday opener, is exactly 7 days instead of the traditional 10 that you get, a shorter turnaround. I just can't imagine that he'll play against Kansas City. So Aaron Jones plays a little bit tonight. Jamal Williams is probably not playing at all in the preseason.
We're talking with Ryan Wood here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can find his work at PackerNews.com, the Green Bay Press Gazette, and on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Ryan, one guy that does need to play, I think, is Rashawn Gary. He hasn't made a whole bunch of plays in preseason live action yet, but you get to see him on the field on a daily basis in practice. Does it look like he's starting to figure things out at least, or is this going to be kind of a learning year for him?
I don't know if it'll be a learning year. I don't know what the definitive amount of time will be. It will be a learning process for sure. In one-on-ones, he looks great. He's got the athleticism. It's unfair one-on-one against him and most linemen. But 11-on-11 is a completely different beast, not just because of the physical, but really the mental side of 11-on-11. And with Rashawn Gary, there's no secret why he's playing additional snaps. I mean, extended snaps that these past 2 weeks. I mean, compare him to Darnell Savage Jr., who's been out pretty early. Rashawn Gary's been playing into the third quarter, and that's because, unlike Darnell Savage Jr., he's a safety in college, still a safety. Rashawn Gary is really transitioning to a new position. I mean, he didn't stand up very much at all. He was a defensive end, five tech, put your hand in the ground player at Michigan. He's standing up in a two-point stance and rushing from outside linebacker here with the Packers, and it's really different. I mean, even the vantage point, you see so much more of the game when you're standing up, and there's so much more for you mentally to process and to be aware of. And for Rashawn Gary, especially in that 11-on-11 setting, the key is probably going to be how quickly can he become comfortable with that, and how quickly can he that become second nature to where he's not thinking and processing so much during the middle of a play, but he's just reading and reacting and going. That's the learning process. How long that takes, it's hard to say. I doubt it'll take a whole year, but it'll take some time.
Do you think there's any trade value if the Packers can try to trade Taylor? Could they get some value?
Yeah,
out of
he makes $2.8 million base salary this year. I think it's 3.8 next year. So the fact that, I mean, he's a starting caliber left guard, and the salary is very attractive for a starter in this league. There probably would be some trade value. Now, the thing to keep in mind, this is the same with Mike Daniels. Why weren't they able to trade Mike Daniels? As soon as teams start making trade calls, it's kind of a tell. Like, if you're like playing poker, but it's kind of a tell that, hey, we're going to release this guy if we don't get a trade partner. And if teams know that, they're much less inclined to give up an actual asset when they can just sign him on the open market. So I think the big difference between this and Mike Daniels is that Lane Taylor's salary is really, really attractive, and there's no question about that. He's not making much, especially against the cap. So, but with that said, it kind of works both ways. Like, even if the Packers don't think he's a great scheme fit, I think he's going to be a much better player early in the season than Elgton Jenkins. Elgton Jenkins long term is going to be the better player. He's drafted in the second round. He was drafted in the second round not to sit and watch, but to play as early as possible. But early in the season, Lane Taylor, who has started the past 3 years, is probably going to be the better player. And even if Elgton Jenkins eventually jumps him, he's not making so much that, you know, it's okay to have some depth on the interior offensive line. I think a big question if they do release or trade Lane Taylor's, how do they feel about Justin McCray and Lucas Patrick and the depth that those guys provide? So, you know, it's going to be interesting. The other thing to keep in mind, if Brian Bulaga gets hurt, the Packers are probably going to kick out Billy Turner to right guard, and then that stresses your interior depth even more. So, you know, the problem I always had with the Mike Daniels release was that you voluntarily became less deep at a position where there's a lot of attrition, a lot of wear and tear throughout the season, the interior defensive line. Interior offensive line is the same way. And so voluntarily becoming less deep is just a tough thing to be able to do. So we'll see.
Ryan, will Kevin King be ready for September 5th at 7:20 p.m. in Soldier Field, week one against the Bears, or is this going to be just a lingering issue all year where we barely see him again?
Maybe somewhere in the middle, but if I had to guess, I would guess that he'd be ready for week one. He's a guy that doesn't need a ton of preseason time at this point, so the fact that he's missing now is not the issue. The issue is, of course, he's always hurt, and that's a problem. But I do kind of get a sense that most likely he'll be able to go week one. I mean, there's still a couple weeks away. If he's not, I mean, that'd be pretty alarming because this is something that happened early in camp. It would be pretty alarming if he's not able to go in Chicago.
Is there a player out there, a veteran, who you just say, man, this guy is just not getting the job done? He's going to make the team, but he's having a horrible camp.
No, I wouldn't say that. You know, I think that there could be some veteran cuts. I mean, I think the tight end is going to be interesting because Mercedes Lewis was brought here to do a specific job, and that job is to block. And if they need to add additional numbers at running backs as injury insurance, if they need to add a seventh receiver, can they keep four tight ends? I mean, that's a legitimate question. Nothing really that, you know, I think Mercedes Lewis has been fine for his role. But that blocking tight end, we'll see how committed Matt LaFleur, who in February said, our tight ends will block. You know, he is very firm on that. We'll see how committed he is, because that could be a tough question. You know, obviously we mentioned Lane Taylor. That could be a surprise move. I think kicker also is going to be interesting. I find it hard to see them cutting Mason Crosby, but the competition between him and Sam Ficken has been pretty close. What's not close is that the money. The money is not close. Sam Ficken is very cheap. Mason Crosby is the most expensive kicker in the league. Now, the problem in cutting him is that it would take the Chicago Bears about 2 nanoseconds to sign Mason Crosby, and all of a sudden, if you do that, you're exposing you're fixing your greatest opponents, your greatest rivals' biggest need at kicker. Is that enough to maybe keep 2 kickers on the roster? I think that'll be an interesting question going forward as well.
Well, the Packers have kept 2 punters before, so I don't see why they wouldn't keep...
Hey, J.K. Scott was having a kid.
You know, 2 kickers. Before. No, this was a long time ago. I forgot who, John Ryan was it? I don't remember who it was. They kept 2 punters. They drafted a punter, and he wasn't working out. And I think, boy, Mason, for an incumbent to beat Mason, Mason's really going to have to, like, botch this, I think, to lose. In addition to what's going on in Chicago, Mason is really going to have to botch this, I think, to lose his job. Don't you feel?
I agree, and I felt that way the whole time. And he has not botched this. He's hit the ball really well in camp. I think though, you always have to wonder about the money. If it is close, Sam Ficken is an NFL kicker. I mean, not just the fact that he hit a 63-yarder on Family Night, but he's not been as consistent as he'd surely like, But if you talk about like splash plays from the kicker position, he's had those. You know, like he's got a really strong leg. He has a stronger leg than Mason Crosby. There's probably more just raw, unbridled talent there at this point than Mason Crosby. The difference is, of course, Mason Crosby's the veteran, and being such, he's the trusted guy. I mean, you trust him more than Sam Ficken. You trust him more in Lambeau Field, where it can be a tricky place to kick. You trust him more late in the season and in clutch moments. I mean, yes, he had some rough games last year against Minnesota and Arizona, missed the game-winning kick, but he also made a game-winning kick on Monday Night Football against the 49ers. So he is the trusted guy. You know, if you do keep two kickers, which I think is, let's be clear, I think it's very unlikely. I'm not saying that it's likely in any way that they're keeping two kickers, because that's never the likely scenario. To do that, you have to have a really, really strong roster. I don't know if the Packers have that. But if they did, in theory, you could have Sam Ficken handle kickoffs. So there'd be a role for him. And long-term, he might have more upside because Mason Crosby is 34. And, you know, at some point, you're going to want to make sure you have the next kicker here in town. Well, if they feel that strongly about Sam Ficken, maybe there's a transition that they start to put in place now. Again, I would doubt it, because I think it's very unlikely that any team keeps two kickers. It's just not what the norm in this league. But I think that you can't say it's impossible. You can't say there's no chance.
Ryan, thanks a lot, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, take care.
That was Ryan Wood. You could find his work at PackerNews.com, as well as the Green Bay Press Gazette. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. We got to get to a break when we come back. Kaylin Kaler from SportsIllustrated.com. She did this awesome piece yesterday on the Chicago Bears
and
their search for a kicker. No, that was Cato Kaelin.
Oh, okay.
Who has given up on the Brewers.
Okay.
What does she think about the NFC North? She also did that preview up next. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryan and Stratton College Athletic Studios. He's Chuck Freeman, filling in for Bart Winkler this week. I'm Ryan Horvath. This segment brought to you by Amazon. Discover your next opportunity at Amazon. Start earning at least $15 an hour and up to $16.15 an hour as a warehouse member in Kenosha. Apply online today at amazon.com/KenoshaJobs. Amazon, an equal opportunity employer. Joining us now here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Kaylin Kaler. She covers the NFL for SI.com. If you haven't read her latest piece yet, you should check it out right away. It's titled Madness at 43 Yards, The Bears Kicker Competition Through the Eyes of Those Who Lived It. Kaylin, thanks for giving us a couple minutes here today.
Yeah, no problem. I was checking the traffic on the story last night, and we can see like the links that it's being referred to by. And Green Bay Packers Reddit was driving a significant amount of traffic.
Really? See, that doesn't surprise me. I didn't know if everybody out here would know this story. But so we all knew that the Bears were obsessed with getting this right after they cut ties with Cody Parkey. He misses that field goal last year that cost them a 16-15 wild card loss to the Eagles. Can you explain, though, to those that don't know or haven't read the piece yet, what's been going on in Chicago? They brought in 9 kickers, a kicking guru. It just seems like a big mess.
Yeah, so from their side of it, I think they are just trying to do everything they can. And yesterday, actually, Matt Nagy was asked about my story and, you know, to look back on what they've done. And he said, no regrets. He said, is it a perfect science? Maybe not. But, you know, Ryan Pace and I have a philosophy of no regrets. And that's actually a good perspective. And it kind of explains a lot of what they've done. They brought in 9 different kickers for their rookie mini camp. And they evaluated even more than that in different tryouts that they had before the mini camp. And then at the rookie minicamp, they brought in Jamie Cole as a consultant, and he will remain. He's a kicking coach, actually from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's from Catholic Memorial. Jamie Cole, he went to Iowa State.
Yes.
They brought in Jamie Cole kicking consultant? Okay.
Yeah, he's a consultant. He'll remain through the 2019 season.
Yeah.
And he's actually, like, on staff, like, helping to guide this search and to coach the kicker.
Sure.
And we're down to 1 now, so he's helping to coach Eddie Pinheiro there. which was sort of a unique situation. They did that. Cole has never been hired officially on staff as a consultant. He has relationships with a ton of different NFL teams and is widely respected in the league. But usually, you know, it's not actually like, let's bring this guy onto our staff. So that was a unique part of this, too. And they also used TrackMan data, which is a technology commonly used in golf right now, although they're going to start soon expanding into the kicking world. And it basically measures like velocity, miles per hour off your foot, launch angle. It can tell you how far a field goal would have been made from, like how far that ball was going to travel. You know, like, oh, it would have been good from 63 or something. So they used all this data. They ranked the kickers daily and then posted the rankings outside the locker room on a whiteboard, which is just a really interesting scene to imagine in your mind. And so, yeah, I talked to a bunch of the kickers who went through this process, and a lot of them were kind of critical of it because one kind of for two main reasons. One was because Matt Nagy in the offseason has continued to preach this catchphrase of remember the hurt, and he has played the video of the end of the game and Cody Parkey's miss and the aftermath of that, everyone's reactions. He's played that a bunch of times for the team this offseason, at least three times during veteran minicamp and OTAs, and then he kicked off rookie minicamp with a video of that kick. So, you know, imagine being a kicker trying out for the job, and the first thing you see when you walk into Hallis Hall is a video of Parkey's missed kick. That's sort of setting the bar with the pressure right there. And you know, several of them said it wasn't like an efficient way to go about handling it because they felt it was just a negative environment from the get-go. And then they even had them attempt the 43-yard field goal at rookie minicamp on the first day, you know, one at a time, in total silence, and they went 2 for 8. So that kind of shows you how hard it was just to recreate that. So, yeah, they were critical of that part, and then they were critical also a little bit of Jamie Cole just because he has his own private business. So he knows a lot of these kickers who have been his paying clients, who go to his coaching clinics and his camps. And this goes for all private kicking coaches. I don't think any of them would be unbiased in this role because they all know certain kickers already and have worked with certain kickers. So the few kickers who hadn't really worked with him, they were a little apprehensive and they questioned the process because they could see a connection between the guys who got better scores and the guys who made it on to the next round and those who had established relationships with Cole.
We're talking with Kaylin Kaler. You could find her work at SI.com. I think like the weirdest part of this story is the fact that the Bears have now hired Jamie Cole for the remainder of the season. But if they have their guy, their kicker, what does he really do the rest of the year? Does he just evaluate future kickers or what, like, what's his title now?
I think he'll actually coach if it is Eddie Pinheiro, if he's the one who stays.
Yeah.
I think he'll actually be involved with coaching Eddie Pinheiro. They haven't, I mean, Cole obviously has his own business, so he's not there every single day.
Okay.
Like, I was there a few days of training camp, and I'm not even sure if I actually saw him, but he was there during training camp. He just wasn't there every single practice, every single day, because he does have his own life and his own family, and he's not, like, an actual full-time coach on staff. So I'm not sure exactly, like, what the arrangement is. They haven't really been super open about that, but I know he will be involved during the season, and I'm sure it's just sort of like coaching tactics, like improving the kicker that remains.
Have you been to Green Bay and checked out Packer camp yet?
Yeah, I did. I was there for one day, one of their final practices of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Tuesday, so I think it was last week, actually.
Yeah, what was your impressions of LaFleur's handling his first camp up there?
I thought it was great. He looks like he's very much in control, and you know, the offense looks good to me, and the defense looks totally different with the new cast of free agents and draft picks like Rashawn Gary that have come in. So that's exciting, and you know, I got a chance to talk to William Turner. He goes by like all three names. and I specifically wanted to talk to him because Rodgers has singled him out like twice this offseason just to say, like, you guys should be writing about him. You guys should be paying attention to him. He's really good, and he's totally upgraded our offensive line. So I got a chance to talk to him, and he was a really cool guy, and was talking about, you know, how he's so excited to play with Rodgers and all of that. And then also on that day, Rodgers spoke, and that was when he gave his quote about how, you know, he doesn't care about what we think about his relationship with Matt LaFleur. You know, like, he doesn't wish that we knew anything, or whatever that kind of snarky quote was, which I think is funny because he's clearly over that storyline, but it's still the biggest storyline, and it will be the whole season until we get evidence that they're working together properly.
Kalen, I want to get your thoughts on who's going to win the NFC North, but first, just I got to go back to this because it's just so baffling. Just one more question about this kicker situation in Chicago. So you had the opportunity to talk with all nine guys, which I thought was awesome, but you also talked to a lot of people around the league, former kickers, coaches, executives, and that such. So when you bring up this story and how the Bears are handling this and this obsession of Matt Nagy, just the way that they lose in that wild card game, do they find this to be crazy or genius? Like, could you see other teams doing this? Or is everybody like, no, they're nuts, this is insane?
I think it's like, jury's still out. Although, it's interesting because Eddie DeNiro, he didn't even come from, like, he wasn't even there for the rookie minicamp.
Right.
So when they brought in nine guys, like, he was not one of the nine. So I would say for that part of the experiment did not work. That may be a failure, just the rookie minicamp part. But then when you continue, you know, throughout the rest of it, you know, I think if he becomes a really good kicker, which I think he could, if he becomes a success, maybe this, you know, process of just bringing in, like, everyone you can and then slowly whittling it down from there, maybe that will catch on. But when I was reporting the story, like, generally speaking, most people were pretty skeptical of what the Bears had done. And I think Adam Vinatieri's quote was one of my favorites, where he was just like, nine guys?
I know, I just feel bad for these guys. It's like, man, you're about, it's like, imagine getting fired from your job, but you're competing under all that pressure, and I don't almost feel like a piece of meat or something.
I mean, three kickers is, or two kickers is pressure, four kickers, whatever, but nine, man.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you're just like one in a number.
We're worried about our guy Mason Crosby here.
Right, and this, it was interesting because they all kind of walked me through when they realized there was nine, and none of them really knew until they got there. They knew there was going to be, like, more than normal, but they didn't know how many more than normal. A lot of them thought it was going to be, like, five or maybe six, like, at the most six. And then they got there, and they're like, oh, shit, I didn't know what's-his-face was going to be here. Like, and they're so, oh, God, you know? And it was just, like, they piled it on, and they're like, okay, so that's how many people are here.
I feel like it's like almost like the show The Bachelor, but with NFL kickers. Like, everybody's just competing for the love of Matt Nagy. But you also did an awesome preview on the NFC North as well, and that's on SI.com, MMQB. So if I had to put you on the spot, take you to Las Vegas right now, and we got to go up to the sports book and make a bet, who are you taking to win the NFC North this year?
Oh, my God, that's such a hard question.
Don't worry about offending anybody. Everybody in Wisconsin, for some reason, hates the Packers anyway. So just, you could just say the Bears.
Oh, stop.
That is so hard. Okay. I'm going to say, I guess I would say the Bears, only because I think that their defense is so good that it can repeat what it did last year and sort of pick up slack on the offense for Mitch Trubisky, because I think that's their biggest question mark. If Mitch can be better than he was last year, I think they'll win. I guess that's my condition. If Mitch improves, I think they'll win the division. If not, I could see it going to Green Bay or Minnesota. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Lions for whatever reason, just because Matt Stafford is now on his, like, third quarterback coach in four seasons. Like, they just keep firing the quarterback coaches. So I don't know. Like, I feel like he's just a quarterback that's unfortunately never going to reach his true potential there. I would say Bears if Trubisky improves. If not, I would say Packers and Vikings. Like, I think the Vikings are going to be a lot better this year. Like, a lot better. They're going to play like they should have last year.
Kalen, thanks a lot. Your work is awesome, and we hope to speak again with you very soon.
Thanks for coming on.
Great. Thanks so much.
That was Kaylin Kaler. You could find her work at the MMQB. She's on Sports Illustrated now. And that article on the Chicago Bears and their kicker situation, that's also going to be featured in the magazine as well. She joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, then look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1936. 414-799-1250 is the number. What's up, Frames?
Now, you know, that was a silent signal I gave to you.
Thought you were giving me the finger.
No. I wouldn't do that to you. The other guy, many times, not you. At least not yet.
I'll say, just wait.
You said that everybody hates the Packers, and I know you said you kind of said that facetiously. I get that. But do you feel like there's a team in this state where I have in mind a team that that for whatever reason, even with success, people are always like, ah, you know, they feel like that team, there are more haters on that team than any other team. See, I feel like with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Really?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Even these days? Because they're beloved right now.
Well, I still think, though, they have not completely earned the trust of fans out there just yet.
I don't think any Wisconsin team has, and outside of the Packers, they should earn our trust.
Well,
I mean, there's been some rough finishes. But
I feel like the Packers are that team where people don't hate them. And it's not like, I feel like Rodgers has got some, for whatever reason, people have this thing with Rodgers, and I don't think it's about his play. I just think they just don't like the cut of his jib. But with the Packers, if you pick against the Packers on the radio or on Twitter, on Facebook or whatever, you'll get killed. But if the Bucks do something wrong, they get killed.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, yes. And I felt like the 6-game series with Toronto didn't do them any favors, losing that series.
Because
they were starting to earn a little trust from fans.
Yeah.
And then that came along, and they lost 3 times in Toronto. No, the Bucks. The Bucks and the Brewers could make the same mistake, and the Bucks will get criticized, but the Brewers won't.
You've been here a lot.
I feel like that's the way it's been that way. But that trust is starting to earn with the Bucks. It's not there yet. You know, they've had one championship level season that they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. For the first time since 2001, so I don't think fans are just there yet with the Bucks. It's going to take a while, but the Brewers haven't had a lot of success either.
No,
but still, the Brewers can get have more. I feel the Brewers can make more mistakes, but if the Bucks make a mistake, people are all ready to just pile right on top of them.
I'll have to think about that a little bit. 414-799-1250. We're up against a break, but let's get out to Burlington. Corey's been holding. Corey, what's up, buddy?
Morning, guys. I don't know if I might be cutting out. I'm going to step outside for a second.
Are you in class?
No, I'm at a gym, and it's a dungeon for service.
What are you doing? Shoulders today? Is it back day?
You know I'm hitting shoulders today, Horvy. How'd you know?
Got to get those shoulders, because Thursday, baby. Thursday's always shoulder day.
I got to work on my beer drinking muscles, that's for sure. Yeah. good stuff from Kaylin and from Woody, too. He mentioned Kevin King, and besides Kenny Clark, my most optimistic draft pick in the last few years has been Kevin King, but he's just a glass box. And that my buddies and I were talking, and if you were a betting man, are you going over or under 5.5 games for Kevin King this year?
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to go under.
I'm going to say he's finally going to get on the field, and we're going to finally find what this guy's made out of this year.
Over or under 9.5 games for Bulaga?
Oh, man, that's a good one.
I'm going to go over. He'll go out there injured.
Oh, no.
Right. Does he have to tear his ACL?
Does he have to complete the game, though? Because how many times is he, like, in the first quarter, second quarter, being carted off on off the sidelines?
He's a tough SOB, but he just has, yeah.
He'll start a game. He might not finish it, but he'll start it.
This whole thing with Rodgers, like, I don't want him to play tonight. If he is even remotely sore in his back, and there's just, yeah, he's got nothing to prove. I guess I'm not as, I just think, you know, with the whole McCarthy situation, you know, we're going to see some dramatic stuff out of Rodgers this year. I don't know. I don't think it was, yeah, I mean, certainly it was a toxic situation with McCarthy, but mm-hmm. I really don't think it was entirely that. I think it's a personality thing with Rodgers. He truly does think he's the smartest dude, and I'm afraid that the second it starts to go wrong with LaFleur, he's going to pull the same antics again, and it's just, I don't know.
But don't you want a quarterback that feels good about himself and has got, I mean, and has got the smarts of quarterback?
Like last year, in the last couple of years, if he's chumming on the field, he's chumming with the opponent team or the referees. He's never chumming with his dudes. He's not a great leader. He's an amazing quarterback, possibly one of the greatest ever, but he's not a great leader.
See, I think he gets a bad rap. I think he's a better leader than people give him credit for.
I think so, too. He's just not. But Corey's making a good point there, because you look at Tom Brady. He's headbutting his linemen in the huddle after a win. He's high-fiving everybody.
And this is the
that's
case,
the guy you want. And Rodgers, just that's not his personality.
And remember I told you how the thing with the Brewers and the Bucks, how the Bucks could do no right in fans' eyes and the Brewers can. I felt like in this comparison with Favre and Rodgers.
Same thing.
Favre, hey, you know what? Favre wasn't. You know, he wasn't exactly the team guy. He was not exactly the guy who palled around with the guys on the team. Not all of them. Okay, he had a select few. Yet, people cut him slack all the time. Rodgers, man, you know, he talks about having a zip of scotch, and people are all over him.
I'm with you. Chuck and Winkler, 414-799-1250. What do you hope to see from the Packers? Preseason game number 3 when we return. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.